We're reading this morning from the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 10, which is entitled The Pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. This is text number 51. So we'll just recite and go to the purport straight and for paucity of time. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Lord Ramchandra became king during Treta Yuga, but because of his good government, the age was like Satya Yuga. Everyone was religious and completely happy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Among the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapar and Kali, the Kali Yuga is the worst. But if the process of Varnashram Dharma is introduced, even in this age of Kali, the situation of Satya Yuga can be invoked. The Hare Krishna movement or Krishna consciousness movement is meant for this purpose. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan astihi eko mahan gunaha kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sangaha param vrajet. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one can be free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. If people take to this Sankirtan movement of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, they'll certainly be freed from the contamination of Kali Yuga, and the people of this age will be happy as people were in Satya Yuga, the golden age. Anyone, anywhere can easily take to this Hare Krishna movement. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, observe the rules and regulations, and stay free from the contamination of sinful life. Even if one is sinful and cannot give up sinful life immediately, if he chants the Hare Krishna mantra with devotion and faith, he'll certainly be freed from all sinful activities and his life will be successful. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. This is the blessing of Lord Ramachandra, who has appeared in this age of Kali as Lord Gaurasundar. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Maihyam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Panghum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Kujantam Rama Rameti Madhuram Madhuraksharam Aruhya Kavita Shakham Vande Valmiki Kokilam Valmiki Munisimhasya Kavita Vanacharine Shrinvan Rama Kathanadam Konayanti Param Gatim Ramaya Rama Bhadraya Rama Chandraya Vedhase Nathaya Raghunathaya Sitaya Pataye Namaha Ramah Rajamani Sada Vijayate Ramam Ramesham Bhaje Ramena Bhita Nishacharachamum Ramayatasmai Namaha
रामान्नास्ति परायणं परतरं रामस्य दासोऽस्म्यहं रामे चित्तलयः सदा भवतु मे भो राम मामुद्धरः मनोजवं मारुततुल्यवेगं जितेन्द्रियं बुद्धिमतां वरिष्ठं वातात्मजं वा नरयूथमुख्यं श्रीरामदूतं शरणं प्रपद्ये.
हरे कृष्ण. So it's my great honor to be here on this most auspicious occasion of Sri Ram Navami, and I want to sincerely thank and express my gratitude to the temple leaders and the festival committee for having given me this opportunity to glorify Lord Sri Ramachandra and his most intimate associates. And I would like to seek the blessings of all senior Srila Prabhupada disciples and the senior devotees present here before I can present a couple of thoughts and glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Ram. So, one time there was a speaker who was glorifying Lord Ramchandra, speaking Ram Katha for 7 days. And he covered the entire gamut of the activities of Lord Ram in 7 days. And after the Ram Katha was over, on the 7th day, a couple came to the speaker and said, "We have a question." So the speaker said, "What's your question?" The couple said, "Our question is, who was the demon in Ramayana, Ram or Ravan?" After hearing for 7 days, this was still their question. And then the speaker said, "Neither is Ram the demon nor is Ravan the demon. I am the demon that I couldn't explain in 7 days. Who is the demon?" You know. So I'm hoping that at the end of this talk, I don't turn out to be the demon, not being able to present the glories of Lord Ramchandra properly. Once there was a debate between the devotee of Lord Ram and a devotee of Lord Krishna. The devotee of Lord Ram said, "Our Lord Ram is greater than your Lord Krishna. Because our Lord Ram went to the forest for 14 years. The devotee of Krishna said, "Big deal. Our Lord Krishna lived in the forest practically all the time. Vrindavan. You know, what's the big deal? Look at his simplicity in his life." The devotee of Lord Ram said, "What's the big deal? He lived in the forest. Our Lord Ram, he was a king. He quit his kingdom and his throne and he went to the forest. Look at his renunciation." And the devotee of Lord Krishna said, "What's the big deal? Sita had 353 mother-in-laws because Dashrath had 353 queens, not three. Three were his principal queens, Kausalya, Kaikeyi and Sumitra, and he had 350 other queens." So this devotee of, you know, Krishna said, "Your Lord Ram, he went to the forest. Sita had 353 mother-in-laws. In order to avoid the trouble from the 353 mother-in-laws, he took her to the forest. And by the way, he wanted a 14-year-old long honeymoon. So he went. What is the big deal?" You know. Now, both of them were debating and the audience was enjoying. The audience was benefited because both were hearing the qualities of Lord Ram and Lord Krishna simultaneously. When we speak about the glories of Lord Ram, it's not one is greater than the other. It's not one is right and other is wrong. When the glories of the Lord are spoken, the beautiful qualities of the Lord come forth and all the devotees just drown themselves in the nectar of the beautiful qualities and the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. One time, Madhudvisha Prabhu and Jamuna Devi, both of them were having a debate. Who is greater, Krishna or Balaram? And what is the difference between Krishna and Balaram? So Madhudvisha Prabhu was telling Jamuna Devi that the difference between Krishna and Balaram is only one. Krishna is the enjoyer of Srimati Radharani and Balaram is not. And Jamuna Devi said, "That's maybe fine, but the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is, Krishna is blackish blue in color, like a monsoon cloud, and Balaram is whitish in color, like the spring cloud." And both of them kept going back and forth, and Tamal Krishna Goswami arrived there. Now, who's right, who's wrong? How do you prove who's right, who's wrong? So Tamal Krishna Goswami said, "Let's go to Srila Prabhupada." So all three of them came to Srila Prabhupada. And Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj said to Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, Madhudvisha Prabhu says that the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is that Krishna is the only enjoyer of Srimati Radharani and Balaram is not. Prabhupada said, that is right. And then he said, Prabhupada, Yamuna Devi says that the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is that Krishna is like a blackish blue monsoon cloud and Balaramji is like a whitish spring cloud. And Prabhupada said, that is right. And then Tamal Krishna Goswami asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, that this is right and that is right. Who is right? Prabhupada said, you are right. And she asked Prabhupada, whom are we went to decide? Who? How do we decide what is right? And then Prabhupada said, you decide what is right. And therefore, when we talk about the glories of the Lord, there is no one right or wrong. Someone may say Ram is great, someone may say Krishna is great. And as we churn the nectar of Krishna's and Ram's pastimes, all the devotees simply relish the beautiful qualities and pastimes of the Lord. Therefore, sometimes we say, if you hear about Lord Ram's qualities, you will forget Lord Krishna. And if you hear about Lord Krishna's qualities, we'll forget Lord Ram. And if you hear about Lord Chaitanya's qualities, we'll forget both Krishna and Ram. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, we should worship Shadbhuj Gauranga, in which there is Krishna, in which there is Ram, and which there is also Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Beautiful. Ramayana is beautiful. We immerse ourselves in Ram and we start thinking Ram is so wonderful. Bhagavatam is beautiful. We immerse ourselves in the Srimad Bhagavatam and we think Krishna is beautiful. Lord Chaitanya is beautiful. We immerse ourselves in the pages of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and we think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is beautiful. At the end of the day, the Supreme Lord is beautiful. The Supreme Lord is wonderful. The Supreme Lord's qualities, His pastimes are wonderful. And whichever form He takes, and whichever group of associates He performs His pastimes with, simply leaves our hearts inspired and infused with devotion and inspiration to serve Him. You know, I was once here for Janmashtami, and they had this mocktail stall. The Pandavasena alumni, they had set up a mocktail stall. They have cocktails and mocktails. So they had set up a mocktail stall and BBC radio had come to interview. And one of the Pandavasena alumni members said, you know, you have to, you know, you go and answer the questions. You give the interview. Because they'll ask you some questions about Janmashtami, Gita, and Prabhupada, then the festival. You answer the questions. So I said, fine. So I went. And it was a British gentleman. So he was holding a mocktail in his hand. And the first question he asked me is, what is the difference between a mocktail and a cocktail? Oh Krishna. I was caught there. Now from India I knew that cocktail has alcohol and mocktail doesn't, although it's a mix of several drinks. But I wasn't sure what the British context was. So very first answer I gave was, I'm sorry, I don't know. And this man said, you don't know? They have put a and this is all going live. And he said, you don't know? They have put a stall here and you don't know? I said, I'm sorry, but I don't know. And then he asked me, so what is the drink in my hand called? Now, how do I know the name of this drink, you know? He's just got it from the stall. How do I know the name of this drink? I said, I'm sorry. I'm not too sure. He said, this is called a pina colada. And then he said, can you tell me what the ingredients are? And I was thinking, God, where have I got caught here? You know, I'm meant to be telling him what the Gita is. And he's asking me the ingredients of the pina colada. I said, I'm not too sure. He said, in a regular pina colada, you will have pineapple juice, you will have coconut milk, and you will have white rum. That's called a cocktail. And here we have a mocktail in which you have pineapple juice, you have coconut milk, and you have vanilla ice cream. It's called a cocktail. Three in one. I definitely don't want to compare Shadbhuj Gauranga to a cocktail or a mocktail. But it's definitely wonderful to have Lord Chaitanya, Lord Ram, and Shri Krishna. All three in one. And their beautiful qualities and pastimes. When you drink that drink, Pibata Bhagavata Rasam Alayam. When you drink the nectarian qualities and the pastimes of the Lord. You have a mocktail, you have a cocktail, people relish, but how much can one relish? But when we have the combination of these three beautiful Lords in one, it's a beautiful time to to relish their wonderful qualities. One time, we went to swim, and I don't know much swimming. I hardly know how to swim, actually. I just learned a little bit, knew how to float a little bit. And 5-8 brahmacharis, all of us went to swim, and all of them went inside, and 2 of us brahmacharis who didn't know much were on the sides. People who don't know how to swim always look for the ground underneath to touch their feet. So you can go like this, and as soon as you can't, the feet has to touch the ground. So you're kind of floating a little bit here and there. And suddenly while floating, I didn't realize I had gone to a dangerous area. And now I was tired. I could do it for 3.5-4 minutes. And I suddenly tried to put my feet down and my feet were nowhere. And I'm struggling, shouting for help, practically drowning. And this other brahmachari whose feet were on the ground there, whose feet touched the base there, this other brahmachari was not sure what to do. Even he didn't know how to swim. Everyone else was inside of this huge lake. And this brahmachari started chanting Narasimha prayers for my protection. And I was wondering, with Narasimha prayers, Narasimha Dev will incarnate or not. I'm not too sure. But some brahmachari has to come and save me. And I had no idea of how deep this lake was. By Krishna's grace, somehow I came to a place where my feet touched the ground and I was saved. But I truly didn't know what the depth of this lake was. If you go to Kusum Sarovar near Govardhan, according to some, the Kusum Sarovar is about 60 feet deep. But according to some legends, some of the British officers and God to check the depth of Kusum Sarovar, and they had tied a long string, an unending string, a big reel, to a stone, and they threw the stone inside, and the thread kept reeling down, and they couldn't figure out what the depth of the Kusum Sarovar was. Hanumanji, he crossed the ocean to go to Sri Lanka. And when he crossed the ocean, he knew the length of the ocean, 100 yojans, 800 miles. But he had no idea about the depth of the ocean. He had not gone to the depth of the ocean. You know, one of our devotees in Mumbai, very interested in adventure sports, went for scuba diving. And he's even taken pictures with the sharks and whales around him inside the depths. And as he went down scuba diving, he could go as deep as they could take him, the deepest he could go, and still there is depths underneath, and he doesn't know how deep the ocean is. Hanumanji crossed the ocean, knew the length of the ocean, but did not know the depth of the ocean. Vasuki and the Mandara mountain, they were trying to churn the milk ocean, not the salty ocean of Hanuman. And while the milk ocean was being churned, the Mandar mountain had gone deep, but even the Mandar mountain did not know what the actual depth of the Kshira Sagar or the milk ocean was. Hanuman didn't understand the depth of the salty ocean. Vasuki and Mandara didn't understand the depth of the milk ocean, the Kshira Sagar, in which the Samudra Manthan was taking place, the churning of the milk ocean was taking place. And the Acharyas have said, Lord Ram is not a salt ocean. You can't even know the depth of a salt ocean. I didn't know how deep the lake was. The British officers didn't know how deep Kusum Sarovar was. Hanuman didn't know how deep the Indian Ocean was. Mandar didn't know how deep the milk ocean was. Lord Ram is neither a lake, nor Kusum Sarovar, nor the Indian Ocean, nor the Kshir Sagar or the milk ocean. Lord Ram is an ocean of qualities, Guna Sagar. Lord Ram is an ocean of mercy, Kripa Sagar. Lord Ram is an ocean of compassion, Daya Sagar. If we cannot measure the depth of the oceans of this world, and the celestials can't measure the depth of the milk ocean, how can anyone measure the depth of the personality of Lord Ram? How can anyone measure the depth of the wonderful qualities, the pastimes, the beauty of Lord Sri Ramachandra? And therefore, anyone who tries to get into the depth of Lord Ram's qualities will only find he keeps getting deeper and does not know where to go further. He keeps getting deeper and does not know where to go further, because it's an unlimited ocean with the depth is not known at all. And thus, a person who dwells deep into the pastimes and qualities of Lord Ramchandra always remains dissatisfied. Always remains dissatisfied, because he wants to know more, and he tries to know more, and there's more to know. And then he gets to know more, and there's more to know. There's more, gets to know more, and there's more to know. More to know, more to know, more to know. The world finds success and they say mission fulfilled. But a devotee's life is mission unfulfilled. Our mission will never be fulfilled because we'll never be able to understand the Lord completely. Therefore, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan would go around near Govardhan and sing, "He Radhe, Braja Devi ke chalalite, He Nanda Suno Kutaha." Oh, where is Krishna? Where is Srimati Radharani? After giving so many years in Govardhan, they're still looking for Radharani and Krishna. Therefore, mission unfulfilled. And this mission unfulfilled is wonderful. A devotee will never be able to say that my mission of my life is fulfilled. Impossible. The mission will always be unfulfilled because the Lord is Guna Sagar, Daya Sagar, Kripa Sagar, an ocean of good qualities, an ocean of mercy, an ocean of compassion, the depth of which can never be actually fathomed. And therefore, the more we hear about these qualities of the Lord, we get completely fascinated. No one gets fascinated by looks. It's only a very shallow society which gets fascinated by looks. Externals, looks, decor, decking oneself up. If that's what's valued, that society is a very shallow society. No one gets fascinated by looks. No one even gets fascinated by the activities of a person. He did this, she did this, so many magazines, this Bollywood star ran away with this Hollywood actress, and this doctor did this, and this sports star did this, and this cinema star. So much news all over the place, activities. Who takes interest? You know? Form doesn't captivate us, looks. Activities don't captivate us. Names don't captivate us. So many names all over the world. Qualities do. Even in this world, when we hear about a person who's noble, when we hear about someone who has very good qualities, someone who's compassionate, someone who's kind, someone who is gentle, what is Mother Teresa known for? Her good looks? What is Mother Teresa known for? Her pastimes? Her going around with people? Dancing with someone? What's Mother Teresa known for? Is she known first for her name? No. The qualities, kindness, compassion, extending that compassion to people. And because she was extending that compassion to people, people started taking interest in her name. People started interested in what she looked like. People started taking interest in what her activities were like. The whole book was written on her nama, her rupa and her leela. No one is interested in nama, rupa and leela until there is guna. Only when we hear the guna of someone, the qualities of someone, then there is an interest in the nama, the rupa and the leela. We are interested in activities of that person. Why? Because we have heard the qualities. Such a compassionate person. We are interested in the name of the person. What is the name of that person? Because we heard that person is so compassionate. We are interested in the form of that person. We want to see that person. Why? Because the person is so compassionate. And therefore there is nama, rupa, guna and leela. When we hear about the guna, the qualities of Sri Ramachandra, that guna, when we hear, that's called sambandha gyan. We get sambandha, knowledge of our relationship with the Lord. And when we get that sambandha, after hearing the wonderful qualities of the Lord, and we get completely fascinated, what an amazing Lord, what an amazing Lord. That guna then leads to abhideya, which is our faith in the holy name, Nama. From Guna comes Nama. The more we are fascinated by hearing about the pastimes of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, we don't have a choice but to be faithful in chanting the holy name. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. He instituted the Bhagavatam classes, he instituted the Gita classes, he instituted the Chaitanya Charitamrita classes in our society with this sole purpose. And he tirelessly wrote his purports and gave us his books with this sole purpose, that we get completely fascinated by the qualities of the Lord. Because we are anyways fascinated by the qualities in the people world of the people in the world outside. And the more we get fascinated by this guna, that leads to Nama, the Abhideya. With faith we can chant the holy name. And when we chant the holy name, that leads to prayojana, which is the rupa and the leela. We actually start getting attraction towards the Lord's form and towards the Lord's pastimes. So guna leads to faith in nama, and nama leads to attraction for the rupa and the leela. And thus festivals like Ramnavami, Janmashtami, Gaur Purnima, Radhashtami are times when we come together and dwell on the guna, on the qualities of this wonderful, beautiful personalities of Godhead. The Valmiki Ramayana begins by Valmiki Muni asking Narada Muni a question. And he says, is there any human being living on planet Earth who has the following 16 qualities? Valmiki Muni in two verses enumerates 16 qualities and makes an inquiry of Narada Muni, is there anyone at all in this world who has these 16 qualities? And Narada Muni replies by saying, there is no one in the world who has these 16 qualities except one personality, Sri Ramachandra. And that's how the whole Ramayana begins. This morning, I thought I'll cover one quality out of the 16 qualities of Lord Ram. Due to paucity of time, if we start, there is no end. 12 hours will go, 24 hours will go. The Valmiki Ramayana is so deep, the deep ocean, the deeper you go, you realize where are we getting? There's so much. So I thought I will take one quality of Lord Ram. This quality is called Kritagya, that Lord Ram is extremely grateful. And in doing so, we will discuss three different contrasts in three different places in the Valmiki Ramayana. We'll discuss Lanka and the qualities of Lanka. We'll discuss Kishkinda and the qualities of Kishkinda. And then we will discuss Ayodhya finally and the qualities of Ayodhya and thereby the qualities of Lord Ram. And let us see how it proceeds. The flip chart board is here. Okay, good. So the first place that we want to talk about is Sri Lanka. And what is the whole paradigm of Sri Lanka? In Lanka, valuables are more important than values. Like in the world today, valuables are given more importance than values. Gold is given more important than values. A golden iPhone is given more important than values. A Bentley is given more important than values. A massive home in Mayfair is given more important than values. A lot of money in the bank account is given more important to values. Lanka means valuables are more important than values. And therefore, if one boy, a teacher asked a boy, which is your favorite book, son? He said, my father's checkbook. My father's checkbook is my favorite book. Because at the end of the day, valuables are important. Values are not. If you take the book like the Gita, you take the book like the Ramayana, you take the book like the Mahabharata, these books talk of values. And whichever book talks of values, we want to keep away. Whichever book talks of valuables, we want to keep it. How to win friends in 7 days. How to be successful in 7 days. How to be completely in control over people in 3.5 days. Successful books in the world outside, because valuables are important, not values. One devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, when we go out for distributing books and distributing Gita, these people come to us and say, we don't want your book. Prabhupada said, why? Why do they say that? And the devotee said, Prabhupada, they tell us that they want to read this book by Thomas Harris called I Am Okay, You Are Okay. And the book was so popular at that time when devotees would go out and distribute books. People would say, we don't need this book, the Gita. We have this book, Thomas Harris's book. I am okay, you are okay. Prabhupada said, you go to them and show the Gita and tell them, this book teaches you, I am okay, you are not okay. This book teaches you, I am okay, you are not okay. And this book teaches you how to be okay. And therefore, all those books that teach us values, we want to avoid. All those books that only give us valuables, we want to accept in the modern world. And what culture is it? The Lanka culture. The Lanka culture is where valuables are valued more than values. The Lanka culture is where achievements are valued more than people. Where achievements matter. Even the toilet seat has to be covered with gold. And that is true. Lanka, everything was gold and a toilet seat was covered with gold. And I have been to a house. And no, I'm not lying. I have been to a house where the toilet seat was covered with 24 karat pure gold. Gold leafed. Here we put gold on the altar of the Lord. Isn't it arrogance? Isn't it absolute arrogance? I'm not against anyone or anything who has money. But isn't it arrogance to put... What do you do? Whether it's gold, plastic or wood, the job is the same. It's the same job. You know? Arrogance where achievements are put above people. Lanka, valuables are valued more than values. Achievements are given more importance than people. Individual success is more important than collective cooperation. Where Ravan wants to be in control, I want the position. Who cares for this Vibhishan? Who cares for this Kumbhakarna? Who cares for anyone? I only use them to get my ends. And this happens everywhere. In a corporate institution, this could come in. In a spiritual institution, this could come in. In a family, this could come in. Because at the end of the day, these are principles. You know? Where achievements are valued more than people. Individual success is valued more than collective cooperation. Valuables are valued more than values, you know. And in order to do that, in order to get those valuables, in order to get that individual success, in order to get those achievements, then one can steal. Beg, borrow or steal. It doesn't matter. When valuables are matter, that is what that matters, values go down the drain. Two friends went to a shop. And when they came out, one guy pulled out a chocolate from his pocket and said, "Look, look, look, I stole it. I stole it, you know. I didn't even buy it. You guys pay money. I don't even pay money. I just flicked it, put it in my pocket, you know." The other guy said, "You're talking about this magic that you stole, but I can show you something greater. Come, let's go back to the shop." He went back to the shop and told the shop owner, "Can I show you some magic, please?" He said, "Yeah, I love magic." He said, "Can you give me a chocolate?" He said, "Yeah." And this guy took the chocolate and ate it. He said, "Where's the magic?" He said, "Look, the chocolate I ate is now in his pocket." And the shopkeeper put his hand into the pocket and he found the chocolate. He said, "Wow, you're a great magician. You eat the chocolate and it enters into this guy's pocket." Oh, Krishna, I must tell you, beg, borrow or steal when it comes to enjoyment and fulfilling one's own agendas, you know. Ravana didn't mind stealing. The whole city of Sri Lanka was a stolen city. Because when valuables matter, your values go away. You don't get it by hard work, you steal it. It was a city of his stepbrother Kuvera, made of gold completely. He took that city away. He even stole the Pushpak Vimana, the airplane of Kuvera. And what was the beauty of the Pushpak Vimana? The beauty of the Pushpak Vimana was, it could expand to as many passengers as needed. So if there's 500 passengers, it would expand. 2,000 passengers, it could expand. When Lord Ram came back after the Battle of Lanka to Ayodhya, all the millions of monkey soldiers were put on the Pushpak Vimana. Everyone fit there. It's not like the flights today. If it's overbooked, they don't take you on. I was in Bahrain last year, and the flight was overbooked because I came late. They said, "Sorry, sir, you can't fly." I said, "What do you mean I can't fly? I have a ticket." I said, "Just because you have a ticket, you can't fly. You're late." "So what do you mean, sir?" Finally, of course, they gave us a voucher of $300. It's still pending. I'm meant to travel to Middle East. I have still a voucher from Gulf Air for $300. It's with me still. If any of you is interested, I can give it to you. The only problem is the only person who can fly is the person whose name it is in. So I have to fly, I guess. You know. But Pushpak Viman, no overbooked. Come as many people, no problem. And Pushpak Viman would fly at the speed of the mind. While you sit here, how the mind goes? As you sit here,
The mind just flies somewhere else. Pushpak Viman would fly at the speed of the mind. You sit here on Pushpak Viman and say Vrindavan, and it's Vrindavan. Can you imagine the speed? 9 hours to come to London and sit there on the flight in the economy class where there's no space and people are doing all kinds of things, drinking alcohol and all kinds of mixed smell and the worst smell, I won't tell you. Same air being circulated inside. Horrible, you know. Pushpak Viman, what an incredible design. And it would go only at the will of the owner of the plane. So Ravana had even stolen that plane. How people can steal to fulfill their personal agendas. When Srila Prabhupada was in Jaipur, it came to Srila Prabhupada's notice that one person had taken the name of Achyutananda Maharaj at that time. And he was going around to wealthy business people and collecting money in the name of Achyutananda Maharaj. He was not Achyutananda Maharaj. One general man just took the name Achyutananda Maharaj, made a fake receipt and started collecting money. And this came to the notice of Srila Prabhupada. He was caught and brought to Srila Prabhupada. And the devotees said, Prabhupada, we should give him away to the police. Srila Prabhupada said, no. Don't give him away to the police immediately. We should give him at least one more chance to reform himself. Srila Prabhupada told him that he should reform himself and take to the practice of Krishna consciousness. He started living in the temple, shaved his head, started attending the morning program and kind of became a devotee. And just in 2 weeks' time, in the early morning before Mangalarti, he was found taking some of the valuables of the deities away and running away from the temple. He was caught and Prabhupada said, now he should be given away to the police. We have given him one chance, now no more one chance. Now he should just be handed over to the police straight away. We can't take chances of keeping him any longer and think he'll reform, you know. How people will steal and what people will do just to get their agendas fulfilled, that is Lanka mentality. Because valuables matter more than values, Ravan didn't mind stealing. And Ravan didn't mind using people. Whenever valuables are important, achievements are important, accolades are important, individual success is important, we don't care. We simply use people. We simply use people. And that's Lanka. Lanka means use people because your agendas matter. Your success matters. Your achievements matter. Your valuables matter. Your throne matters. Your gold matters. You matter. So it doesn't matter. Use people. He was using Maricha, his own uncle. He used his own uncle. Maricha was defeated twice by Ram. And he told Maricha, take the form of a golden deer. He said, I've been defeated twice by Ram. I know I'll be killed. He said, I don't care you be killed. I don't care. You just go. And then Maricha said, better to be killed at the hands of Ram than Ravan. And he said, okay, I'll go. You know, used his uncle. Used Kumbhakarna, his own brother. Kumbhakarna was a mixed good and bad guy, you know. Kind of a good guy. But in bad company. He was like Karna. Knew what is right by serving a wrong master, Duryodhan. Loyalty to Duryodhan killed Karna. And loyalty to Ravan killed Kumbhakarna. 6 months he could sleep for 6 full months. What a benediction. Devotees will be so happy. Devotees will be so happy. Sometimes devotees say, Prabhu, please pass the benediction to me as well. Kumbhakarna had this blessing, curse, whatever you call that. If someone wakes you up in the middle of the 6 months, you will die. So when Ravan woke him up, 6 months had not yet gone. Ravan knew for certain that if I wake him up, according to the boon of Brahma, he's going to die. He didn't mind. He didn't mind using people to get one's personal agendas fulfilled. That's Lanka. That's Ravan, you know. Like they say, things are meant to be used and people are meant to be loved. But in today's world, things are loved and people are used to get those things. That is Ravan mentality. Valuables are loved and people are used to get those things. And when Kumbhakarna was woken up, he said, now I'm going to fight, but I'm advising you. Ram is God. You won't win against him. Give Sita away. But his loyalty to Ravan killed him. And when Kumbhakarna got up, he asked Ravan, where will this pending sleep go away? There's still more time for me to sleep. If I die, where will my sleep go? Ravan said, don't worry. If you die, your sleep will go to where devotees chant the holy names. And it will go to where devotees hear the class.
So therefore, as soon as the mala comes, Kumbhakarna sleep comes. Pending sleep. And wherever the Bhagavatam class comes, Kumbhakarna's pending sleep comes.
You know, using people.
Stealing, using people, mistreating people was Lanka. Vibhishana was the good man, his own brother, trying to give good advice to Ravana. But when a person is addicted to vice, then the advice of a wise soul doesn't make any sense. Anyone who's addicted to vice, no matter how much advice given by a wise man, doesn't sink. Vibhishana was the one person, along with Mandodari and a few others, who was trying to correct Ravana, and he couldn't handle it any longer. Out of the many reasons for Ravana's destruction, here's one more. That final day, when he said to Ravana, "Give up, give Sita away," Ravana didn't only shout at Vibhishana, he kicked him. He kicked him. Being physically violent? Abusing someone physically? Hitting someone? Not Vaishnav. It's not Vaishnav. Not a Vaishnav way of dealing. Ravana obviously wasn't a Vaishnav. In his original form, yes, Jai Vijay form. But not now. He kicked him. On the other hand, you see Ram, so sensitive and respectful, that Indra's charioteer, Matali, was driving the chariot of Lord Ram during the battle. And Matali was very slow. When you fight, the charioteer has to be in pace with the fighter. Lord Ram was trying to tell Matali, "Go fast, go fast." And Matali was like, you know, going at his own pace. It's like a Karna and Shalya combination. Of course, here Ram and Matali. And as Matali was going slow, Ram was saying, "Go fast." And then when Matali just couldn't, Ram said, "Look, I'm not instructing you, yeah? Forget about kicking and hitting and telling. I'm not even instructing you, yeah? I'm just trying to request you, teach you if you can go faster. Because you're not my charioteer. You're the charioteer of Indra. If you're the charioteer of Indra, how can I speak like this to you? I'm just telling you, you know?" And therefore, we find the whole of Lanka stealing, using, kicking, mistreating and causing pain to others. Simply causing pain to others. You know? And thus we find Ravana, he conquered all the 9 planets, Navagraha, Saturn, Mercury, Jupiter, all of them. And when he brought them to his palace, his throne was on top and there were 9 steps to the throne. And he put each of the 9 planets, all the personalities in charge, Shani Dev, Mangal Dev, all of them on the steps, lying on their stomachs. And he would step on their backs. He would step on Shani, he would step on Rahu, he would step on Mangala, he would step on Buddha and ascend to his throne. And Narad Muni came to his palace one day. And Narad, he took him around and Narad Muni went to Shani and said, "Hey Shani, Saturn, you're Saturn, right? You're meant to be troubling people. What is this? You're going to be meant to be troubling people and here you're being troubled by this guy. He's putting his foot on your back, man. What is happening?" Shani said, "Look, because he's put us all on our bellies, I can't do anything. In order to destroy someone, I have to glance upon him, right? And because I'm lying the other way, I can't glance on him." Narad Muni said, "Don't worry, I'll take care." Narad Muni went to Ravana and said, "Hey Ravana, what are you doing? You brought this Navagrahas, the demigods in charge of the 9 planets, and you put them on these steps. And what's the fun? You are stepping on their backs and ascending to the throne, but what's the fun unless you see the expressions on their face, how they suffer when you step on them? Therefore, my suggestion is just turn them over. Turn them on their back and step on their bellies and climb up, so that you can enjoy the pain. When you see the painful expression on their face, then you will feel happy, Ravana." And Ravana said, "Yeah, it didn't strike me actually, that I'm only climbing them and I can't see their expressions." So Ravana said, "No problem, I shall do it right away." And Ravana tossed all of them over. And the very first morning, that he was ascending as soon as he stepped on the belly of Shani, Saturn. Shani glanced on him. And out of the 18 curses, Ravana had 18 curses on him. And out of the 18, one was the glance of Shani. And therefore Sita was kidnapped during the 7.5 years of Shani's influence or Shani's Sade Sati. And thus, Shani was definitely, Shani was just a cause. All the others was cause. The ultimate cause is the Supreme Lord, Ram, who would finish Ravana. But that's Lanka. Use people, cause pain to people. Anywhere where people are used, anywhere where pain is caused and we enjoy the pain of others, anywhere where there is lack of sensitivities, anywhere where people steal, anywhere where valuables are more important than values, anywhere where individual success is more important than collective cooperation, anywhere where achievements are more important than people, Lanka thrives. Lanka is not just from Treta Yuga. That's the physical Lanka. These are the principles that Lanka represents. Whether it's a family, whether it's a corporate organization, whether it's a spiritual organization, whether it's a business house, wherever these things happen, Lanka thrives. And Lanka thrives, and how long will Lanka thrive? The empire has to collapse. One day or the other, the empire has to collapse. So many have collapsed. So many empires of this world have collapsed because these were the values that were practiced by them. You know, Ramchandra, when he was killing Ravana, he cut his heads over 100 times. Every single time he would shoot his arrow, another head would grow up. One head would be cut, another head would grow up. Another head would grow up. Every time the head fell off, another head would grow up. Bhima, he had the vow that he would kill Dushyasana. He would rip his chest apart and drink his blood. And only then Draupadi will bathe and tie her hair up. Bhima, my God, Mahabharata has a very gory kind of description of all these things. You know how Bhima would kill out of the 100 Kauravas? Book distribution score was highest. Every day of the battle, he would say 18 Mahavik. 18 Kauravas killed. 20 Mahavik today. You know, the score was, all the time score was announced in the Pandava game. So today Bhima has a score of 20 Mahabhags. Hari Bol! Today this brother, that brother is killed. What a score, you know. He would take these two brothers, two Kaurava brothers, and smash their heads into each other. And he was so powerful, as he would just smash, those heads would just amalgamate into one flat face. Sometimes he would take 4 or 5 and just put them under his armpits and crush them like this. But the worst one was Dushyasana. Dushyasana. And how he wished that he could kill Dushyasana 100 times, not once. As he came to Dushyasana, all these memories of Draupadi being disrobed were flashing back, and he could only see Draupadi sari being held by the hands of Dushyasana. How he wished he wouldn't kill him once, he would kill him 100 times. But he couldn't. He could only kill him once. Ram could kill Ravan 100 times. 100 times he broke, cut off his head. Dushyasana could only kill once, and therefore his vengeance, he ripped his chest, took a handful of blood and drank it. Bhima is a Hare Krishna devotee, isn't it? No meat eating is our principle, and this is not meat eating, this is, you know, my God, cannibalism. But according to Shripad Madhvacharya's commentaries, Bhima just took to the blood and touched it just to his lip a little bit. Because that was his vow. Kshatriyas make such vows. He didn't drink that blood. Lord Ram, however, killed Ravana 100 times. His head was severed. And you know why? The Acharyas have explained. For 2 reasons. One, because for every sin that he has committed, his head has to go once. Every sin. Therefore, more than 100 times his heads were cut. One sin, yeah, you did this to Sita, you did this to this, they did that, cut, and the head would grow up, and it would be cut, and the head would grow up. Punishment was given to him. And secondly, this is beautiful. The Acharyas have explained, the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas explained, that they constantly kept cutting their heads, his head off, Because he thought, one head is gone, that brain is gone, that intelligence is gone. Maybe with the second head, good intelligence will dawn and he'll surrender. And he wouldn't. The second head he would cut off and still he would fight. And he kept doing this. The Lord keeps giving chances for us to reform. And even if we don't, well, end is certain. Ravan was killed. The empire was gone. And when he came back to Ayodhya, Mother Kausalya welcomed Ram, performed an arati, did an abhishek with her warm tears of affection. And Mother Kausalya said, "You killed Ravan and came back, son?" Ram said, "I didn't kill Ravan." Kausalya said, "What do you mean? I just heard you killed Ravan." And then Ram said, "I killed Ravan." Kausalya said, "What are you doing? 30 seconds back I asked you, you killed Ravan and came back. You said, I didn't kill Ravan. When I said, what do you mean? You said, I killed Ravan." Ram explained, "I didn't kill Ravan. I killed Ravan. I didn't kill Ravan. I, Ram, didn't kill Ravan. I, the ego, his ego. I didn't kill Ravan. I killed Ravan." The false ego of Ravan ended up killing and finishing Ravan. Can we take this chart off? And therefore, Lanka is symbolized by all of these values. I won't even want to say well. Therefore, the word for Lanka is Kritaghna. Krita means that which is done, and Ghna means that which is destroyed. Kubera had made such a beautiful city with good values, and Ravana destroyed the values in the golden Lanka because valuables were more important than values to him. Achievements were more important to than people for him. That is the culture of Lanka. Good things are done and we destroy it. Value of Lanka. And therefore, Lanka is called Vikriti or perversion, a place where perverted people live. Kritaghna, Vikriti, and a culture of vultures. What are vultures? If any of you ever been to a Tower of Silence, do you even know what a Tower of Silence means? Zoroastrians, Parsi, people from the Parsi faith, they don't bury their bodies, nor do they cremate their bodies. Their bodies are left in a place called a Tower of Silence, where vultures come and eat those bodies. We have in Mumbai, just about 10 minutes drive from our temple in Chapati, the Tower of Silence for the people of the Zoroastrian faith. And these vultures will come and, you know, just feast on these dead bodies. A vulture may go high up in the air, but the idea is only, how can I enjoy this flesh? And that's Lanka, vulture. You may even sit up high up there, but thinking, how can I enjoy my senses? How can everything be for myself? And that was Ravana. The second place we talk about is Kishkindha Kshetra. Here is Lanka, Kritaghna, Vikriti and vulture. And then we have Kishkindha Kshetra. And Kishkindha Kshetra is all about forgetfulness. There people just keep forgetting, you know. They're not bad people. Lanka, Ravan is a bad person. In Kishkindha, Vali was not really a bad person. Sugriva was not a bad person. But they just keep forgetting. Forgetfulness is the nature of Kishkindha Kshetra. You know, they say a human brain works 24 hours a day and stops only twice, when you have to write an exam and when one falls in love. The human brain functions 24 hours a day but stops twice when one takes an exam or when one falls in love, and the brain stops working and, you know, heart starts functioning, you know. Anyway, but we forget. Forgetfulness happens to me. One of my friends said to me, "I forget three things." I said, "What do you forget?" He said, "I forget names, I forget telephone numbers, and the third thing that I forget, I forgot." I said, "Wow, wow, what memory, you know?" Kaliyuga memories, Krishna, Krishna. Kaliyuga memories are what they are. It's okay if we forget names, isn't it? It's okay if we forget telephone numbers, isn't it? It's also alright if we forget a verse. If we know the essence, it's fine. People who have good memories are not essentially good people, are they? People who have good memories are not essentially good people. Good memory is not the sign of advancement. Gratitude is a sign of advancement. Good memory just happens to be an added quality, a karmic skill which can be used in service to Krishna. Forgetting verses, big deal. Forgetting names and numbers, big deal. Forgetting your account numbers and train numbers and this and that, big deal, you know.
Forgetting the good that has been done to others and forgetting the duties that come forth because of the good that has been done to us by others, that is a big deal. That lack of gratitude. It's all right if we forget a phone number, but how can we forget what Srila Prabhupada did for us? It's okay if we forget something. How can we forget the person who brought us to Krishna consciousness? Whenever His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj speaks about Bhavananda Prabhu and tells how he brought him to Krishna consciousness, remembering what devotees have done to us, remembering what anyone has done to us. I remember once His Grace Kripamaya Prabhu at the Buckland retreat, he gave a seminar on gratitude. And in the seminar on gratitude, he made all the devotees write. He said, make a list of the people whom you are grateful for. Don't write down your mother, your father, your sibling. You can't write their name. You can't write Prabhupada. You can't write your guru's name. You can't write any devotee. You can't write any close friends. You can't write school teachers. Now write down whom you are grateful for. I was also participating in the exercise. I went out of thoughts. Who, you know? My mom, yeah. He said, don't write. Dad, no. He said, don't write. Guru, he said, don't write. The devotees, he said, don't write. Whom do I write? And then at the end of it all, he said, there's so many times people, the British army, for us in India, the Indian army, they stand there at the borders fighting and we are able to chant Hare Krishna. We don't even think about them. A Vaishnava civilization is an evolved civilization where we don't forget the good that is done to us, whether it's in front of our eyes or behind our eyes. It doesn't matter. And Kripamaya Prabhu was saying how gratitude is the quality of an evolved Vaishnava. But here, it's just a natural thing for Kishkindha to forget the good that has been done. Therefore, Sugriva, after Vali was killed and he was made the king, now he had two. Tara, his own wife. Ruma, his own wife, and Tara, his brother's wife, Vali. And for the 4 months of the rainy season, he said, well, after the rainy season, we'll find Sita for you, my dear Ram. Don't worry. And for the 4 months of the rainy season, this guy was having a gala time with Ruma and Tara. 4 months passed by. The kingly luxuries, the kingly alcohol, the kingly foods, the kingly sensual delights. And as soon as all the pleasures came, there was forgetfulness of the duty towards Lord Ramachandra. Kishkindha Kshetra. Forgetfulness, you know. Bhavananda Prabhu was once walking with Srila Prabhupada in Beverly Hills. And he happened to see this beautiful house. Beautiful mansion, decorated. There was a big dog, good gardens, nice lawns, flowers, and a car, beautiful car standing there. And Bhavananda Prabhu was like fascinated completely by that house. And Prabhupada was walking ahead, Bhavananda Prabhu was walking behind. Prabhupada didn't even look at the house. Bhavananda was like, whoosh. And then as Prabhupada was walking ahead, he didn't know what he was doing behind. Prabhupada cleared his throat. You know, sometimes how you do that? And looked in the direction of that house and spat. Krishna, you can imagine, looked in the direction of that house and then spat. Because when we see pleasures, material affluence, we forget what is of value. And the guru has to remind what is of value. Not to say that we can't use, not to say that this house is not good, not to be nothing against the house, but what is of true value. And therefore when Sugriva forgot his responsibilities and his duties towards Lord Ramchandra, Lakshmana came. Lakshmana is the guru tattva. He came to remind Sugriva, come on, what are you doing? This is conditioned nature, that the good is forgotten. Conditioned nature means we tend to forget every now and then what is of value. And even as devotees, we tend to forget every now and then what is of value. And the Guru Tattva, Lakshmana Tattva, has to remind us what is of true value. The Kishkindha Vasis were not bad people. They were good people. They were sincere intentions, but just weak moments, that's all. Weak moments, the pleasures would just cover them over. And therefore Sugriva had forgotten. As soon as Lakshmana reminded him, back to square one. He had a contingent of monkeys searching for Mother Sita, started duties again. You know, and that's precisely why we find
this is a place of mistakes, not sins. Lanka is a place of sins. Kishkinda is a place of mistakes, and everyone makes mistakes. Ram killed Tataka, but he didn't kill Ahalya. Both had made mistakes. Ram killed Ravana, he didn't kill Indra. Both had made mistakes. Ravana disguised him as a sadhu, and Indra had disguised himself as a sadhu. Ravana had tried to molest Sita, and Indra had actually molested Ahalya. Indra's sin was even graver. He had only kidnapped. Ravan hadn't yet touched Sita. But Ravan was killed and Ahalya was, Indra wasn't. Tataka was killed and Ahalya wasn't. You know why? Because when demons make a mistake, they rejoice in it, they rationalize it, and they repeat it. When we make mistakes, and if we rejoice in making that mistake, and when we rationalize that it was okay, and we keep repeating the same mistake, that's demoniac tendency. Whereas divine tendency is what? We realize that we have made a mistake, we regret that we made a mistake, and we rectify that mistake. Divine means to realize the mistake, to regret the mistake, and to rectify the mistake. Demoniac means to rejoice in that mistake, to rationalize that mistake, and to repeat that mistake. That's what the demons kept doing. Ravana kept doing, Tataka kept doing, so they were killed. But when there is realization that I made a mistake, and we regret it, and we want to correct and rectify it, we are always given a chance. And that is why Kishkinda is quite an amazing place, because in Kishkinda, mistakes were made, but Ram gave them a chance to be corrected and be reinstituted in their duties towards him. We are not Ravan. We are not Ravan in Lanka, nor are we Lakshman, completely serving. Most of us fall in the category of sadhakas, Sugriva. As Sugriva, many times we tend to forget our life is Kishkinda. Our conditioned nature gets the better of us. Many times. Like Sugriva's conditioned nature took the better of him. He's not a bad man. No devotee is a bad devotee. No one in the Hare Krishna movement is a bad devotee. But just sometimes the conditioned nature gets the better of us and we forget what's right and wrong. And then we realize our mistakes, we regret our mistakes and rectify our mistakes. A society of Vaishnavas gives us that position, you know. But pleasures and good times make us forget God. Therefore they say, in happy moments, praise God. In difficult moments, seek God. In quiet moments, worship God. In painful moments, trust God. And in every moment, thank God. But in Kishkinda, in difficult moments they sought God, and in happy moments they forgot God. That was the issue. And Lord Ram told Lakshman to remind Sugriva, and Sugriva came back to his senses. It's wonderful to have Lakshman in life, Guru. It's wonderful to have Vaishnavas in life, the devotees, because they keep reminding us and keep bringing us to the track. We are like Sugrivas. We will forget. We will go off the track here and there. Srila Prabhupada used to correct the devotees many times. One time he found one devotee. He was asked to stick stamps on the envelopes. That was his service. And he was using his saliva. So he was licking the stamp and sticking it. And Prabhupada came there and said, what's this going on? This is mochi. You should not use saliva and stick it like that. You should use a bowl of water and put a little finger in the water and stick it like this. No, don't use saliva, mochi, unclean. So he did it. Now the last one stamp was left and the bowl of water was over. He thought, now who will go get up and get a bowl of water? And Prabhupada was away now. And he was about to pick up the last stamp and lick up, and Prabhupada opened the door. So, what's going on here? He had used the bowl of water properly to do that. And therefore, we need, Guru, we need the Vaishnavas to correct us and remind us what is right. Can we just turn this over? And therefore, Kishkinda Kshetra is known as Krita Agya. Kritagna, Krita Agya. Agya means to not know, to forget. You don't remember. Krita Agya means I forget what the good that has been done to me. And if Lanka is Vikriti, this is Prakriti, our conditioned nature, which gets the better of us. Vikriti is perverse nature, sinful nature. Prakriti is conditioned nature. Because of conditioned nature, we forget. It's all right. tendency to forget, but the Guru reminds us. And therefore, if Lanka is vulture, Kishkindha is nature, our conditioned nature. Prakriti, Vikriti, nature, vulture. And finally, last but not the least, Ayodhya, the culture of Sri Ayodhya Dham. I'm speaking a little longer because I was requested by Braj Bihari Prabhu. We were meant to share the whole talk. He said, I'm not going to speak more. You please take the main talk and I will end up with a few minutes of conclusively saying something. It was his instruction to me. I tried to convince him like anything. Yesterday we went whole day went in trying to convince him. But he didn't agree. So I'm just following him and just saying more. Otherwise, don't think that I'm going over time. I would have stopped as the clock would have just reached 9. But because otherwise everyone's wondering, you greedy fellow going on speaking. That poor Braj Bihari Prabhu is sitting there. You've taken his turn away. No. He has been, there was a whole discussion between us. Therefore I'm speaking a little longer. And then finally we have the wonderful place of Sri Ayodhya Dham, you know. And in Ayodhya, Sri Ram, the center of everyone's life. Completely the center of everyone's life. And Ram was so beautiful. There are two terms in Sanskrit, Lavanya and Saundarya. Lavanya means the beauty of your limbs. Like we say, the eyes are beautiful, but the rest of the body may not be. That's called Lavanya. Individually, the limbs are beautiful. And Saundarya means the whole constitution of the body is beautiful. Well-formed body, but the limbs may not be beautiful. Someone who has Saundarya, you may see from a distance, say, what a body, my God, what a well-shaped body. But then you may, when he comes close, you say, eyes looks like, you know, red coals. And someone may have Lavanya. Individually, the limbs may look so beautiful, but the body is out of shape. Ram was a personality who had both Lavanya and Saundarya. Each of his limbs on his beautifully formed, greenish complexioned body was extremely beautiful. And his entire body was so well formed, when he would walk, everyone in Ayodhya would just be looking at Ram and get completely fascinated by the Rupa. By the beauty of Sri Ramachandra. When we were in our childhood, there used to be this bhajan they would sing in Hindi. Thumak thumak chalat Ram, baje panjaniya. Thumak thumak thumak. We're walking in a beautiful gait as a baby Ram. Thumak thumak chalat Ram, baje panjaniya. And as his ankle bells would tinkle, oh, the residents of Ayodhya would like be, my Krishna, what is this? The epitome, the zenith of experience of beauty is living right amongst all of us. What is our good fortune that here is Ram living amongst all of us? Shurpanakha, when she saw Ram, she just went bonkers. Seeing her beauty, Lavanya and Saundarya in one place. And the first person in the whole of Valmiki Ramayana to give a detailed description of Ram's beauty is Shurpanakha, by the way. No one describes Ram's beauty more than Shurpanakha. The first reference is Shurpanakha, who goes to Ravana and says, you man, what are you doing after Mandodari? Look, that's Sita. And then he also starts describing Sita. Describes Ram and Sita's beauty. You know, at the end of the day we find Ram so beautiful. The quintessence of all beauty. And for 14 years, exiled. Can you imagine the residents of Ayodhya, the pain of the mothers, the pain of every Ayodhyavasi? When you have a center, and if the center shifts, the circle has to shift. How can the circle remain there if the center is gone? If Ram is the center, and the center is going to Ayodhya, I mean to the forest, the whole Ayodhya has to go. As the center moves, the circle moves. How can you have a circle without the center? But they stopped him. Everyone was stopped by Ram not to go. He left them and went ahead. You know, it was very painful for the residents of Ayodhya to see that they went to the forest for 14 years. You know why Manthara asked for 14 years? Why that figure, 14 years of exile? Why did she say 14, not 12, not 18, not 16? For three reasons. Because according to Manu Samhita, if someone is exiled and doesn't claim for his property in 12 years, he can't claim the property after 12 years. So if Ram is exiled for 14 years, there's no chance of his claim. Before 12 years, he can at least claim. The second reason she thought, if he's in the forest, some wild animal might eat and he may anyways die. And the third, she thought, if by the time 14 years are gone, the Ayodhya Vasis will forget Ram anyways. Even if he comes back, Ram will be forgotten completely. Manthara had exiled Ram. And I'll tell you, as Ram was leaving, the whole center of Ayodhya is seva, service and gratitude. Sita wanted to serve. Bharat wanted to serve. Lakshmana wanted to serve. Where there is using people, here it is service to people. It's not me, it's you. Where there is individual achievements, here it is collective achievements. It's not I, it's we. Where there are valuables are more important than values, your values are more important than valuables. Here we love people, here we cooperate with people, here we share, here we give, here we cooperate, here we lead together. It's not I, it's we. Because when the I turns to a we, illness turns to wellness. You know? And thus, Ayodhya is such an amazing place. I'll conclude with these two final things. We find, when Lord Ramchandra was coronated as the king, Agastya Muni came to him and said to Lord Ram, "You think you have been victorious? You think you fought the battle? Which demons did you kill?" Ram said, "Oh, I killed Ravana. I even killed Kumbhakarna." Said, "And what about Indrajit, Ram?" Ram said, "Indrajit was killed by Lakshman." Agastya said, "If Indrajit was killed by Lakshman, that means Lakshman actually won the battle, not you." He said, "How? Ravan was the main warrior." Agastya said, "Impossible. Indrajit could only be killed, the son of Ravan, Indrajit, Meghnad, could only be killed by a person who was a Nirahari for 14 years, who's not eaten a single morsel of food for 14 years. One who is a brahmachari for 14 years, one who has not touched a woman or has not even seen the face of a woman for 14 years. And one who has not slept a wink for 14 years. He had that boon that only such a person can kill you, who for 14 years hasn't eaten anything, hasn't slept a wink and hasn't seen even the face of a woman, what to speak of touching a woman." Ram said, "So, Lakshman, how could Lakshman kill them? That's not right. How could Lakshman kill Indrajit? Because Lakshman was with me. I gave him fruits to eat. He ate fruits. And he was with Sita. How is it possible that he didn't see the face of his sister-in-law? And he was with us. He made a cottage for us. We had made a provision. I'm sure he was resting in the night." Agastya said, "Call Lakshman. Let's see." Lakshmana was called. Ram said, "This is what Agastya Muni is saying. What do you have to say?" Lakshmana said, "My dear brother, I did not sleep." He said, "I haven't seen the face of a woman in my life in this 14 years. You remember when the jewelry was shown by Sugriva to us? I could only recognize her anklets because I hadn't seen above the lotus feet of Mother Sita. In these 14 years, I haven't seen the face of a woman. So I practiced brahmacharya. And in this 14 years, I didn't even sleep," he said. He said, "I could not sleep. Because you were there all night, I was guarding you. And when Nidra Devi came to me, I shot an arrow towards Nidra Devi and drove her away. And Nidra Devi said, 'You can't do this. I control people.' I said, 'Look, for now, let me serve your Lord and my Lord, Ram. You're also a servant to Lord Ram. When Lord Ram is coronated and I hold the chhatra, the Vijaya chhatra, the royal umbrella on his head, you may come to me that time. 14 years be away from me. When the mission is successful and I hold the umbrella on his head, at that time you may come, Mother, my dear Nidra Devi, the goddess of sleep.'" And he said to Ram, "Therefore, you remember when you were coronated and I was holding the umbrella? I fell asleep and the umbrella almost collapsed and was about to fall on your head and the situation was saved. That was because I told Nidra Devi to come." And Ram said, "And what about the fruits? You didn't eat for the 14 years?" Lakshman said, "You remember I would always get fruits and you would divide into three divisions? One for Sita, one for you and one for me. All 14 years you would give me that division of fruits which were meant for me and you never told me eat it. You only told me take it. Because you never told me eat it, I did not eat those fruits for the 14 years. Ram said, "Unbelievable." He said, "Hanuman, go to the forest. Check out if those fruits are there." Hanuman went there and found a quiver in which all the fruits were kept by Lakshmana for 14 years. Hanuman tried to lift the quiver. He could not pick the quiver up. Ram said to Lakshman, Hanuman couldn't get the quiver. You go and get the quiver. So Lakshman went to get the quiver. And when he brought the quiver of fruits, Ram said to the Hanuman, count the fruits. All the fruits were counted. And the count was right. For only 5 days less to 14 years. Which means all the fruits for all the years and days were there except for 5 days. So Ram turned to Lakshman, that means 5 days fruits you ate, right? The count is only for that many days. So that means 5 days fruits you've eaten. Lakshman said, no, my dear brother. These were the 5 days when you didn't give me the fruits. And though 5 days that when you didn't give me the fruits, first day was when our father Dasharath died and we got news, we didn't eat that day. So since you didn't eat, you didn't give me the fruits. The second day was when Sita was abducted. You forgot, I forgot. There was no question of eating fruits. The third day was on the day when Indrajit bound us with the Nagapash, we hadn't eaten. So the count of that day of fruits was not there. The fourth day was on which the day when I became unconscious because of the Shakti weapon of Ravana and Hanuman went to bring Sanjeevani. There was no fruits eaten. And the last day was when you destroyed Ravana and we got victory. We were so jubilant that we forgot to eat. Those 5 days of fruits are not counted, dear brother, because you didn't give, you didn't eat, I didn't eat. Fasted, didn't sleep and just kept serving. That's Ayodhya. And last, can we just turn the sheet over? And therefore, Ayodhya is about Kritagya. Kritagna, Kritagya, and Ayodhya is about Kritagya, not Kritagya, to remember what has been done unto us. And be grateful. Gratitude, you know? And thus, Lord Ram symbolizes the quality of gratitude. In Lanka, Kritagna, destruction of the good. Where is remembrance? In Kishkinda, remembrance is there, but you forget constantly. And in Ayodhya, there's no question of forgetting the wonderful things that have been done to us. Ram never forgot. When Ram was coronating Vibhishan as the king, Ram got a very high fever. The Valmiki Ramayana explains. The Sri Vaishnava Acharyas have commented on this. Rama Jwaraha. He had fever. And Ram started crying when Vibhishan was being coronated. And with tears in his eyes, he said, I could make Vali the king. I could make Sugriva the king after destroying Vali. I could even make Vibhishan the king right now after destroying Ravan. What to speak of that? I even made the Padukas, my own sandals, the king. They were sitting instead of Bharat. And Ram started, broke down and started crying. But I could not make Jatayu the king. Here he was in a moment of joy, remembering that sacrifice of Jatayu, the service that he had done, Kritagya, could not forget what was being done to him. And he was crying tears. And Sita Devi, when Ram and Sita were being coronated, you know, this red powder, vermilion, gulal it's called in India, that was being thrown in the air as celebration like in Holi. And Sita Devi started crying. Ram said, it's the occasion of celebration. Why are you crying? Sita couldn't hold herself. When she saw this red vermilion, she could only remember the blood and the flesh of Jatayu. As Jatayu had struggled so hard to protect her from the hands of Ravana. Gratitude is a symptom of Ayodhya. Kritagyata, you know. And therefore we find here in Ayodhya, there is Sanskriti or culture. The Sanskriti or the culture of gratitude. Where values are more important than valuables. Where cooperation is more important than individual success. Where people are more important than achievements. And Srila Prabhupada was like that. In the year 1977, as he departed from this world, on his deathbed, how could he forget Sriman George Harrison Prabhu, who had given so much and done so much for him and have donated this special place on Ram Navami. How can we forget George Harrison and Srila Prabhupada? Kritagyata, gratitude. The whole Bhaktivedanta manner is a manifestation of this loving gesture. Krita, done by George Harrison. And Prabhupada was Kritagya. He remembered. And so in his final days, he removed the gold ring from his hand and gave it
please give it to this nice boy, George Harrison. He has done so much service for us. And therefore, on this wonderful day of Sri Ram Navami, we contrast these three places, Lanka, Kishkinda, and Ayodhya. Lanka, Kritagna, Kishkinda, Kritagya, and Ayodhya, Kritagya. Lanka, Vikriti, or perversion. Kishkinda, Prakriti, or conditioned nature. And Ayodhya, culture, you know, of gratitude and service. And it is a prayer at the lotus feet of Shri Sitaram, Lakshman and Hanuman and Srila Prabhupada that we value values more than valuables. We treat people with sensitivity, all the devotees around us in our society. And you know, achievements don't matter so much to us, but people and the cooperation with people, love and trust amongst all of us matters, as Srila Prabhupada taught. That is the prayer we make at the lotus feet of Shri Sitaram, Lakshman Hanuman and Srila Prabhupada. Shri Sitaram, Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Ram Navami Mahamahotsav ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bo. Now Braj Bihari Prabhu will undo all what I've done and probably share some deep insights on the Valmiki Ramayana. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.